Where is that? Oh, it's in Montevideo.
It's
and then
Uruguay. It's up in Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's their capital city.
Oh, yeah.
I spent much time with him on the phone today.
Yeah.
It's their capital.
Ben's yep. ready, whatever.
What's Montevideo?
I think it's just one of their.
Okay. I thought that's where I was. But it was 1969 as well.
Good evening and welcome.
Last time I was there was after that.
I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all our attendees, including our out-of-town visitors, to Monday, February 27th, regular board meeting of the Brecksville-Broadview Heights City School District here at the auditorium of the high school at 7 p.m. This meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There's a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Roll call. May I have a motion, please? Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Dennison.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3 is board member committee reports.
2B.
2B, excuse me. Schools Foundation grant presentation.
Tracy Mylander. Come on down.
Right here, this room?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Good evening to everybody. I really didn't know that there was going to be so many people here today, so it's good that you're all here. My name is Tracy Mylander, and I serve as a trustee of the Brecksville-Broadview Heights School Foundation, and I'm also chair of the Grants Committee. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about the grants program and to summarize how much we've been able to help the teachers and students this year at the schools. So each year, the Brecksville-Broadview Heights Schools Foundation selects and funds Improving Student Learning and Achievement grants submitted by district. The purpose of the grants are to fund, support, encourage, and reward creative and innovative projects and programs designed to improve student learning and achievement within and the grant proposals submitted by teachers each year are a way for teachers to pitch ideas designed to transform teaching and learning for district students. Teachers align their ideas with district goals, national, state standards, and 21st century skills. The project ideas are innovative and they must also be feasible. A budget and program evaluation plan are required components. And their grants are reviewed by a committee of trustees and the director of curriculum and instruction using an evaluation rubric and a competitive. For the 2016-2017 school year, we received 26 requests from teachers representing all the different schools and totaling over $58,000. Due to our limited amount of funding, the demand exceeded available funds. But the foundation was able to fund 18 proposals in full or in part, totaling over $27,000. And the foundation money, and there's some of you here today, so you could stand up if I call your name. I just picked a few, but I'll have everybody stand up that's gotten a grant here at the end. Beth Adams from Highland, Healthy Habitats, Research Clean and Neat by Kathy McKelvey at Chippewa, Wobble 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 to Help Us Learn, Michelle Gagne from Hilton, I'll Get You My Pretty by Kathy Abel at Central. Programming a New Language Class at Brecksville Broadview Heights Middle School, Ryan McRail. And Getting Ready for an Adult World by Ryan Logan and Susan Folta from the high school. And there's many more that we funded, so if you are a recipient, if you could just stand up. I just picked one from each school, but thank you. So that was just a sampling, but there's a full list of funded proposals and their descriptions on the foundation website, bbhsf.org. And much of this grant funding comes from donations from community members and friends of the district. And our foundation fundraiser, Sip and Support Our Scholars, an evening of wine and craft beer tasting, will take place this Saturday, March 4th, from 7 to 11 p.m. at the St. Joseph New Orleans Party Center. So you can taste beer, wine and beer from around the world, have silent auction items, 50-50 raffle, fund a need, and this is going to be cool because there's going to be a competition to match one of three grant requests that we were not able to fund fully. So one from the Hilton Makerspace, high school mobile 3D printer, and a middle school percussion ensemble and instruments, and much, much more. And so if you see the foundation website for details, because you're always great supporters, but we can do more. The foundation is committed to improving student learning and achievement and to helping our district teachers and helping our students. So we appreciate the opportunity to share our work with you here tonight, and we look forward to continued support of the Board of Education and the community at this event. So together we can enhance learning for district students, our next generation of professional citizens and leaders.
Tracy, thanks very much for the work that you and the foundation are doing. This plans to be a really good event this Saturday. We're looking forward to it, so thank you. Item number three is board member committee reports. Financial liaison audit.
The audit should conclude any day now. I keep saying that, I do mean it, and it has not happened, but it will.
PI committee.
We're scheduling a meeting for April, but nothing new to report since our last.
Transportation appeals. It's the best answer. Board policy committee meeting has a meeting this Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Cuyahoga Valley Career Center.
Big announcement. Dr. Roebuck has announced her retirement, so that will begin as of August 1st. So at CBCC, we are currently interviewing search firms, and then we'll begin that process of filling that position. Also, we had a wonderfully successful STEM career showcase, which was February 11th, so hopefully some of you attended or encouraged your students to attend. The other thing that's coming up is the camp registration for CBCC this summer, heavily laden with lots of STEM programming, so I'm a teacher as well, so I hope you're encouraging your students to go there for summer camp, and you don't have to necessarily live in our district. It's first come, but after that we do open up enrollment, so please encourage your students to attend a CVCC camp, and that's it right now, so thank you.
Any other board member reports? I would like to take a moment on the occasion of having read a couple articles recently in local journals and newspapers, and judging by some of the formatted emails I've received, this might be a good point in this evening's proceedings to mention a couple of things for the record. Regarding negotiations, obviously that's a big reason that a lot of folks are here at this time of year. There's been a couple of misconceptions in the public that I'm sure everybody here is aware of, but they're not, so for the record. Our teachers are currently working under a contract. They're operating under the previously negotiated contract, which, by mutual agreement, rolled over on June 30th of 2016, and it does continue in full force and effect with all conditions. There's also been some items with respect to raises. Due to the rollover of that previous contract, step increases for longevity were reinstated last summer. As a result, 46% of our educators did receive 5% step increases at that time. Increases tied to continuing education have been earned by more than 10% of our teachers every year since 2012, and we're very happy about that because that indicates an investment of time and effort to continue learning in a fast-paced world, so we welcome that. And lastly, there are, and this is well known to the board and an issue, is 12% of our educators are earning the same salary that they did 6 years ago. Furthermore, regarding negotiations, at the request of this board, discussions began a year ago in February of 2016. From the beginning, raises have been offered to 100% of our staff, and an elongated salary schedule has been discussed. While the board's proposal does include a secondary 25-step salary schedule, none of our current staff would be negatively impacted by it. New teachers hired into the district would move on to the new 25-step schedule, while the current staff could elect to stay on their current or go to the new schedule. Lastly, most recently, impasse was declared in the negotiating process on February 15th. And while not a part of every negotiating schedule, it's certainly not uncommon that impasse is reached. And as a result of that, the board has elected to bring a federal mediator in to help facilitate ongoing negotiations, which the next meeting will be held on March 7th. Our board, and I know I'm speaking for all five of us, will continue to bargain fairly and in good faith in pursuit of an agreement that will advance our principles that we've long stated, which are educational excellence, fiscal responsibility, and fairness to our employees. The board's committed to conducting itself in a respectful, professional, honest, and transparent manner, and we encourage all stakeholders to do the same. Thank you.
I'd like to briefly jump in here and address a rumor that's circulating that is informing people that I am telling people to vote against our levy. This is completely untrue. Let's recap the facts. I helped shape the levy details. I voted to place the levy on the ballot in two separate readings. I was the main author of the board letter we all signed supporting the levy. I attended the levy campaign kickoff meeting. I made a financial contribution to the levy campaign, and I'm encouraging people to support the levy. I suspect some people are being misled by a levy-related quote from me posted on a certain Facebook page. The quote was pulled from a letter to the editor I wrote in May of 2011, just after a new money levy failed. It was 6 years ago when I was not on the board, and it pertained to the fiscal cliff we were facing in 2011. It has nothing to do with our current levy, as our current financial circumstances are vastly different today. Since the board, administration, and all of our staff voiced united support for this levy, I am puzzled at why one group would go out of their way to distort my position and damage our levy efforts. It is misguided, and I hope they will rethink their approach. Thank you.
Well, and I'd like to add something too. I really thought that this might be something I'd bring up later, but since we're talking about it now, I haven't really spoken up before about my own personal feelings about this, because from the time you become a school board member, you are told you speak in one voice. And there was a part of me that really believed and wanted to believe, and still is hopeful, that I should let the process kind of try to work itself out. I was also concerned that really by speaking out, I might be hurting some people. Not hoping to, but that I might. About 3.5 weeks ago, I was at a meeting. It had nothing to do with schools or teachers or anything. But one of the speakers said, there comes a time when your silence becomes betrayal. And that hit me right between the eyes. So between that and feeling that there's really nothing I can say or do that's going to make things worse right now. I mean, they're already pretty bad, and I am very concerned about this levy. I prepared a statement knowing that there were going to be a lot of you. You know, those of you that know me, I get emotional, and I was afraid I would forget something. So here is the statement that I wrote out. Over these last several months, I've listened to your heartfelt stories and remarks. I wanted to be sure that you know that I understand your frustration, your disappointment, and even your anger probably more than anyone else up on this stage. Although all of our employees bring value to our educational excellence in this district, our teachers truly are the heart and soul of it. I appreciate all the talent and expertise that you bring to our schools and the love that you have for your students. As a former teacher, I know how many hours go into the job and how much time you sacrifice with your own families to do your job so well. I know also that you put that time in willingly because your kids at school become your family too. We have received many letters in recent months from parents who have shared stories with us about the differences you've made in their children's lives, and I share this with you so that you know that they appreciate you too. Although I certainly am well aware of my fiduciary responsibilities as a member of the school board, I really believed that we should have treated you exactly the same way we did all of our other employees, by agreeing to a modest raise on your existing salary schedule for 2 years. I have made this argument repeatedly during our executive sessions about negotiations. I really thought that after all you sacrificed over the last 6 or 7 years to keep our district afloat, it was only fair. Telling you this really does little good, and probably you'll come back to me at some point, but because clearly my thoughts on the matter are not shared by the majority of the board. I know many of you probably assumed that I felt this way, but it's important to me that you know for sure where I stand. For now, I am hopeful that with the help of the federal mediator, somehow both sides will get enough of what they want and that this contract will get settled soon. In the meantime, never doubt how much you are appreciated by not only the people in this room who have come out to support you, but many other parents and community members as well. Thanks again for all you do for our students each and every day.
Item number 4 is other board business. Item A, resolved that the board award the roof bid contract for roof replacement and repairs at Brexel Broadview Heights Middle School to Industrial Energy Systems in the amount of $152,078 in tab 1. And B, resolved to enter into an agreement with Ohio Schools Council for the advertising and receiving of bids for school bus chassis and bodies per attached in tab 2. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Item A is section 2 of the overall roof project that was identified last year, so this was part 2 of that replacement. And letter B is just our annual school bus replacement needs for buying parts.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item number 5 are our superintendent's announcements.
Thank you. I have quite a bit of announcements because we have quite a bit of students and staff that are doing some amazing things that I wanted to be able to recognize today. So bear with me. I'll read quickly, but want to give everyone their due diligence around this. First and foremost, our spring sports practices are just getting underway, and fortunately the weather has been very cooperative, so they actually got to do some outside practicing, which is unusual in February, and they've enjoyed, so that's really nice. Our new coach, football coach, Jason Simonetti, conducted his first meeting, and all went very well, and the kids are pretty excited about their season next year, so we're excited about that. Our boys basketball team finished tied for second in the Suburban League National Conference this season and begin the OHSAA sectional playoffs on Saturday here at the high school, either versus John Marshall or Rhodes at 7 p.m. Our swimming and diving team, diver Maddie Reed, qualified for the state championship meet and finished 24th in the state last Thursday in Canton. Congratulations to Maddie. This was a very significant achievement on its own, but to make it even more special, this is Maddie's first ever season as a diver. So not only is she first year, and she went out and placed in state, so congratulations to Maddie. Thank you. Our swim team finished fifth in the state of Ohio last Saturday, sending three girls relay teams and three boy relay teams and 12 total swimmers to the state finals. Dave Madde won his second consecutive state championship in the 100-yard freestyle. So congratulations to David. Awesome. Our wrestling team finished fifth in the state of Ohio in the OHSAA Team Championships in Columbus 2 weeks ago. This past Saturday at the OHSAA Individual Sectional Tournament held here at the high school, the Bees advanced 11 wrestlers to district tournament, which will be held next weekend at North Canton Hoover. So good luck to our wrestling team. We're very excited. And our gymnastics team earned their 17th straight trip to the OHSAA state finals, which will be held this coming up weekend in Columbus. The girls will be looking for their 14th consecutive state championship, and head coach Joan Ganim will be awarded the OHSAA Sportsmanship, Ethics, and Integrity Award for the 2016-2017 season at this weekend's final. Obviously a well-deserved honor, and I'm so glad and honored that I am going to get to see her presented with that award this weekend. So congratulations to Joan. And our hockey team won their first OHSAA tournament game in many years by defeating Normandy 4-3 in double overtime. Very exciting game and tremendous achievement. And if you know, I'm a hockey mom, so going into overtime is quite an exciting time in a hockey game. Frank Sweeney was named to the GCHSHL, which stands for the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League All-Star Team. So congratulations to Frank for being a member of that team. So very exciting. And I'm not done yet. And our BBH High School speech and debate team competed at the National Qualifier Tournament on Saturday at St. Ignatius. Congratulations to sophomore Gabby Deltcher, our first alternate in dramatic interpretation to the National Speech and Debate Tournament, and to our national qualifiers, freshman Ian Stewart, and humorous interpretation. And if you were at the concert on Saturday night and saw him perform, it's no doubt in my mind that he won that award. And senior Elizabeth Painter in dramatic interpretation, and Rashiel Raghaven in student congress. Rashiel is also a two-time state qualifier in the public forum and debate. The Bees have set a team record for the most national qualifiers this season. Good luck as they head for their state competition on Thursday. So awesome job to our speech and debate team. Chippewa's Readathon raised more than $1,000 for the Cleveland Book Bank program. Thank you to all of those who participated so that our students can make such a generous donation to a program that helps other students in need. Congratulations to Chippewa and their staff for doing that. Fabulous job. And congratulations to Mr. Dathan Cole, who was selected to present at the 2017 AP Conference in Washington, D.C. in July. He will be presenting on the use of LCD e-writers at the AP in the AP Economics classroom. It's such an honor to have you as a staff member and be able to present at the National AP Conference. So congratulations, Dathan. And I have to give a shout out to Mr. Weiss and Mrs. Asti for their presentation at the OMEA conference a few weeks back. They honored me by inviting me there, and I was able to attend and watch them perform. They did a whole presentation on how you use imagery to teach music. It was fascinating. I was completely engaged, and I know I'm being a little bit biased, but there wasn't a seat in the house. People were sitting around the room. They had their group so engaged. It was a great job. It's so wonderful to see our staff members go out and present their gifts to others and share their knowledge with others. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for inviting me. It was absolutely a fabulous presentation. And my last and I promise I'm done after this. I wanted to give you a quick FYI on Governor Kasich's budget proposal. Again, this has not come into law yet. It will not until it's not required until June 30th, but just wanted to kind of give you a little picture of what are some of the things in his budget that he is proposing. He is looking at doing a decrease in our state funding. if your enrollment has dropped more than 10% in a look-back period between fiscal year 2011 and fiscal year 2016, if your enrollment has dropped more than 10%, they are only going to fund you at 95% of what you would typically get in the district from the formula for this year. If this goes through, it affects us significantly because we have lost 480 students over that time frame, which equates to about 10.9% of our enrollment. That puts us in the category to receive 95% of our funding. So mathematically, that is a difference of $236,101 per year beginning in fiscal year 18. So not good news on that front. And again, this has not been approved yet. This is just what has been proposed. And so in addition, this would be on top of the loss of the TPP funds, which is not being reconsidered as part of the new budget. As you may remember, they extended, we had partial TPP funds 2 years ago, and then it was a decreased amount this year. It is not proposed to be anything going forward in the new budget. They ranked the school districts in the state of Ohio about who would be receiving the least. We are ranked number 12 in terms of how much money we would lose of our state funding at a negative 27%. Numbers that just came out today. So not good news from Columbus. And as one of our parents and friends sitting in the front row used a comment at our levy campaign, Columbus is not our friend. Columbus is not our friend. So just wanted to give you an update on that.
Thanks for the good news, and thanks for the reality check. Item number 6 is our superintendent's consent agenda consisting of items A through D, certified, classified, and supplemental recommendations in tabs 3 through 5, and item D, resolved that effective July 1, 2016, beekeepers, SACC employees receive a 1.5% across the board increase for the 16-17 school year. For 17-18, it will be the same. Beekeepers, SACC employees that have not worked for 260 days will not receive the 1.5% until they have reached 260 days of employment, at which time they'll receive the increase. And after that time, the anniversary date will be July 1 of each year. In addition, all full-time employees in this category will receive a one-time professional development stipend of $500. The stipend for part-time employees will be prorated based on the hours worked per day, but not less than $200. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0.
I have a couple comments. No?
Please,
okay,
please.
Thank you. I would like to thank Joan Casalucci for, she is retiring at the end of this school year, and I would like to thank her for 13 years of service as the health aide at the middle school. So congratulations and best wishes to Joan. It is absolutely my honor and pleasure to introduce to you our new high school principal, Mr. Stephen Ost, and his beautiful family. If you want to come up and introduce and say a few words.
Good evening. My name is Stephen Ost. Currently, I'm the high school principal at Sugar Falls High School. This is my 6 year as principal there, and had been with the district for 7 years. My wife and I, a couple years ago, we were trying to decide if we should move out to the east side, because that's where I work, and she works in Cuyahoga Falls, so we were thinking about that Route 8 corridor, if you will. But our heart kept pulling us back to wanting to stay in the area. We previously lived in Broadview Heights for a couple years, and we had a small ranch in Parma, and my son's stuff was taking it over. So as we were looking for our new house, we ultimately decided to live in Brecksville. So we're proud residents. I've loved this community for my whole life. My grandmother sold real estate here. We've gone to restaurants for Christmas Eve dinners here. So I really hold this community close to my heart, and I'm super excited to be here because once again, I'm in a great place now. So I did my homework, and I realized that I'm entering a school district with a great legacy, and I'm very proud and honored to be a part of it. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Steve, welcome to you and your family to the district.
I know you've been chasing your little ones around, so please, you are not going to offend anyone. If you want to get them home to bed, it's totally fine.
That one for sure.
You're only missing two.
Well, there is one. And thanks for everybody to come to welcome Steve. Item number 7, Superintendent's Business, items A and B, in tab 6 and 7. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. You have a copy of the textbook that we're asking for adoption. This is the fourth in a series of textbook adoptions for Spanish, so if you'd like to look at that, you can. We had an anonymous donation of $36 scholarship for the Washington, D.C. trip at the middle school, and I'd like to thank Mrs. Pam Bowler for a sit-and-stand desk that is also at the middle school.
Mrs. Ricciardo, we would be conducting this evening's proceedings in Spanish, except we didn't have you as a Spanish instructor, so. Any other comments?
Nine.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item 8, Treasurer's Consent Agenda, consisting of items A, B, and D. In tabs 8 and 9, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Burdine.
I was just using tab 8 for the financial report, and when we meet here, we don't do it on the PowerPoint for the screen considerations, but it'll be posted to the district website in the morning. The page 2 of that tab item, the revenue side is relatively unchanged from last month. The big variance item there, $120,000, $148,000, is the timing of TPP replacement funds. Fully expect to receive all of those funds in the fiscal year, just don't know when. Those will come from ODE. On the expenditure side, the variances are all favorable at this point. Some of that favorable variance is due to the ongoing contract negotiations for the first two items. And then the other items are budgeted funds that are available for expenditure through the fiscal year. Typically, those funds are not all spent. We've been very fortunate, as I said last month, with a relatively mild winter, which will save us on natural gas costs, as one example. Two other items, one in that category. At this point in the year, we are about $120,000 below where we had projected our Peterson Scholarship funds would be based upon the growth we were experiencing last year. We did not have growth in those numbers of students this year, actually a decline in those numbers of families who are exercising that option available through the state. So we would expect all or at least most of those $120,000 to be carryover funds. We'll likely adjust those in the May forecast. Also in the retirement insurance benefits category, our workers' compensation premiums, largely due to Mr. Code's efforts with working to settle a number of our outstanding claims, we've been able to reduce that premium through the experience factors that are a major part of that consideration by $48,000 this year. And there's a new billing system that happened that I won't bore you with any of that, but we're in good order of taking advantage of all the discounts we can secure through that. Beyond that, I'd be happy to address whatever questions the board might have. Item B, the appropriations modifications. Fund 300 is our athletics and music student activity accounts. Those are modifications I went in and made to reduce the available budgets to the cash that's on hand at this point in the year. I might come back in a month or two and ask you to increase those once there's cash in there that would necessitate increasing those. But that may not occur either, but I just wanted to have those in good order as we head into our spring seasons and end of year. Fund 551, as you know, these grant amounts from ODE change periodically throughout the year. That was one of our most recent allocation changes from the Department of Education. We've budgeted those funds. We plan to use them. It's free money, so to speak. And the minutes have been presented for your review from those two meetings, the regular meeting from January, as well as that February 21st special meeting. Questions?
Thank you very much, Rick. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 9 is community communications, hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the Board has had an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the Office of the Superintendent. In order for the Board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner and to provide sufficient opportunities for members of the public to be heard, hearing of the public shall be limited to a maximum of 30 minutes, during which each speaker shall be limited to a maximum of 3 minutes. And I know last time we had a robust group of people coming to the podium, and expecting that this evening, please be respectful of the other people behind you who may want to speak. Rick is going to try to help out by giving a high sign as you approach the 3 minute section so you can wrap up. And would anybody like to be heard, please state your name and address. Thank you.
I reside at 116 Falls River Drive in Monroe Falls, Ohio. I am sad and proud to be talking to you tonight, sad that we are once again at a standstill in regards to a fair contract, and sad that our words continue to fall on deaf ears. I am proud, though, to have been a part of this incredible school district for my entire career. 31 years ago, I had offers from several other districts in northeastern Ohio. I chose this district because I wanted to be part of an exceptional one. From day one, I was able to hone my teaching skills with extraordinary mentors who helped me become an accomplished teacher. Brecksville Broadview Heights is known for hiring top teachers. Through the years, these exceptional teachers helped to inspire younger teachers who came into the district, and the circle of high quality teaching kept on going. That is how we succeed. Greatness begets greatness. The board is hoping that many of us with the many years in the district will accept your proposed salary. What this board seems to not understand, however, is that we are investors in this district. We, the teachers, have invested our talent, sweat, and lately a lot of tears, to keep the legacy of this district, to inspire the students, and to nurture future teachers. At this time, I would like to ask any teacher who has taught for 15 or more years and is not willing to accept the board proposal to please stand up. Thank you. We have no intention of selling out the newer teachers, or more importantly, the students in this district. If we accepted the terms currently suggested by the board, we would be among the lowest paid teachers in this area. What high quality teacher will want to come here? What high quality teacher will want to stay here? They won't. They will find other positions in better districts that respect their talents and pay them fairly for their hard work. Our parents must understand that if we accept the board's proposal, it will set into motion a long-term decline in quality, opportunities, and success for our students. It won't happen right away. But after a few years, Brecksville Broadview Heights will have to change the motto on the red door to where a fine education used to be a heritage. Who will lose the most? The children. The students in my second grade classroom. I want them to have these amazing teachers. I want them to have the very best, not the cheapest. We helped to build this brand, this district, these award-winning schools. As I said before, we are investors in the lives of these students, and we will not sell them out, nor will we sell out our families. We will not apologize for wanting to be fairly compensated for the work we do. For 7 years, most of us have been frozen in pay.
3 minutes.
For 7 years, we have shown our professionalism by maintaining the high standards for which Brecksville Broadview Heights is known. My colleagues and I consistently go above and beyond every day to provide our students with a nurturing, safe, and risk-free atmosphere to learn and develop into community, contributing community members. Knowledge that grows within a student stems from the teacher. The teacher matters. The quality of a teacher matters. The members of this board should be investors of the future with us, not against us. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Daisha Pitzer. I reside at 8120 Creekside Trace, Broadview Heights. Although I should be somewhere else right now due to a prior appointment, I felt it necessary and important enough to come here tonight to tell you what a disappointment. I hate to say you are, because it sounds cruel, but right now you're a disappointment. I believe you're all intelligent people, but you've lost focus. You've let your egos and pride get in the way of doing what's right. The only one of you with anything to lose is Kathy Mack, because she still has children in the district that will be affected by your lack of action in this negotiation. Mr. Dozen, your daughter, like my son, who is a senior, is on her way out, so she won't be affected. I do know that you have a daughter in the district, and a beautiful one at that. But they won't be affected by anything that might happen because you refuse to negotiate a fair contract with our teachers. By all appearances now, the willingness to get together with people in the district with concerns, Mr. Jansen, I feel like we've been made fools of because it's not been taken seriously. As I was typing out what I wanted to say so as to stay within my allotted time, my hands were shaking because I was and am so angry at your unwillingness to be fair. The teachers took a freeze, took on more health care costs. The parents pay the most in fees and pay to participate than any other district. My daughter, who's a sophomore, has her sights set on medical school and is working toward that academically every day. Your actions may be putting that in jeopardy because we may lose the best qualified teachers to other districts who are willing to pay them fairly. I do have a fifth grader too, but we will have time to adjust or move for him. You are actually putting the reputation of this district as one of academic excellence at risk, and I, for one, resent it. With the freezes, cuts, and fee hikes on the parents, where is the money that should have been freed up? Now, John Kasich, according to our superintendent, is sticking it to us again. We don't have the money in this district that he seems to think that we have. But he's sticking it to us anyway. And why are we short on enrollment? Because we're losing teachers. We're losing programs. We're losing classes. And it's not fair. Everyone is working harder and longer for less. If it's that bad financially, then show us. Show the parents why and where we're hurting. Show us the proof. Give us the proof. We'll listen. We understand you can't take money off the trees. We get that. When you don't share your information, we can't know what our district is up against. You act like the parents and teachers won't understand because we're ignorant. Help us to know and understand. Our teachers aren't pitching a temper tantrum just to have something to do. They all would like to get on with their lives knowing they have a future teaching and in this district. We used to be the dream job. Now we're a war zone and no one wants to come here. Or at least no one that we want here. Our district, like our country, is a mess, and you show no signs of willingness to compromise. I said this back in May, which I couldn't even fathom, it's been that long. As many others have said, just show that you give a hoot and care about our teachers. Give them the respect they deserve and have earned by making this one of the best districts in Ohio. If we lose that distinction, it won't be because of the failure of our teachers. That will be on you. And I hope your backs are strong enough to carry that. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Paul Kelly. I live on 10837 Partridge Trail. In July, I mentioned to you about the public trust. As a member of our school board, you've taken on that responsibility of managing our schools at the level at which they were inherited when you took office. For some reason, this board has interpreted that to mean asserting their own personal agenda. As you have secured no money since the current seniors were in kindergarten, it is impossible to say that you have lived up to that agreement with the public. For some reason, you have made it your personal responsibility to accomplish the following task. Maintain an uninformed public through manipulation of facts about teachers' pay. And the frustration was clearly evident on the parent that just spoke. The public is uninformed. Instituting pay-to-play programs that is so far beyond any school in the state, yet you sold it to us as being in line with neighboring districts, being in line with what everyone's doing. The problem is it took the research of a senior at Brecksville to prove that you were incredibly wrong. And again, you have negotiated a raise with every collective bargaining group in your school that is fair and equitable, except for that one group that is most required to run a strong school system. Again, you have failed. You continue to come up with delusional ideas. It reminds me of the stories my dad told me growing up in Youngstown about the mob and how they came up with things. Let's do it quiet. No one will know. Ladies and gentlemen, you live in a community with a very strong senior community. They're all going to go out and vote. And if they're uninformed, I guarantee you every one of them will vote no. To sneak a levy by is short-sighted and foolhardy. It won't happen. You ask us for support in a levy when you do not support the key component of any school system, that is your teachers. You continue to act in secrecy as if an uninformed community is the best one, and that idea continues to fall short, violating the public trust that you were given by your constituency. I sat today and I listened to the opening statements by Mr. Jensen talking about a new salary schedule would not affect the current teachers here. That will effectively make Brecksville a minor league school system for education. I'm sorry. My children do not play in the minor leagues. And for you to do that, Mr. Dosen, after your daughter benefited from this amazing system, to knock it down when it no longer benefits you is appalling, and you should step down. That is ridiculous. And finally, Mr. Dosen, to sit here in July and have a member of the faculty call you on the fact that you actively campaigned against a previously levy, and for you to open up today's meeting saying that you did not do that. I'm sure it wasn't that time, but you did, and I'm sure there's a record that they can pull up. And if you were here in July, as I'm sure many of you were, you heard that. This community sits in your hands. I encourage you to do what's right for our kids. Whatever you think of educators really doesn't matter. What matters is my children and other voters' children. Thank you.
My name is Brittany Wigman. I live at 7532 Winding Way in Brecksville. I am a 2003 graduate of this district. Mr. Ziegler, I believe I graduated with your daughter. My husband and I moved back to the district in 2012 with the goal of starting and raising my family's fifth generation of graduates. Additionally, my husband, knowing the high standards of excellence Brecksville fostered, hoped a position within the district would open and he would have an opportunity to apply. Over the last several months, my many teachers, some of whom I've even had, have made statements at previous meetings regarding the proposed salary structure. They have cited concerns that the new structure will ultimately cause an increase in attrition. Many will go in search of higher wages at a point in their careers where they have finally settled in and are thriving. While yes, their motives are to unfreeze their wages, it is apparent and warranted. Their ultimate concern is for the next generation of teachers that will grace our classrooms and lead our students. Today, however, I am here to talk about recruitment. And while Brecksville continues to have a record number of applicants for vacancies, I am here to caution you of the ability to attract current quality educators from other districts to our school system. Currently, my husband is employed by a neighboring non-peer school district. What the proposed structure fails to acknowledge is that even Brecksville's non-peer districts are beating them. Compared to my husband's district, the proposed salary structure creates a $10,000 wage gap for an individual with a master's degree at year 14. Comparably, this non-peer district also beats Brecksville beginning at year 3 with a bachelor's degree. As the number of teachers continues to decline with the increase in hostility towards educators, Brecksville needs to be prepared for a buyer's market. According to an NEA article in March of 2016, freshman education majors have dropped by nearly 50% in the last 10 years. It would be ill-advised to begin a proverbial game of chicken with our school system. If your financial situation is vastly different from 2011, I implore you to go into this next round of negotiations with the understanding and the belief that our teachers deserve more. They deserve our respect. They deserve our support. And after too many years of frozen wages, they deserve to be paid. Thank you.
Hi. I wasn't prepared to speak tonight. That wasn't my intention. I just came to learn more. My name's Deborah Huffman. I live at 8145 Thackeray Court in Broadview Heights. I've been a resident for a year and a half, and I love it. I moved from a western suburb who ranked about where you guys rank in the school rankings when I first moved there 19 years before, and by the time I moved, it had fallen to being 52nd in the state. They had failed to pass two levies, and we were very concerned that we would never get the money out of our house. We did sell it at a loss, and that school district continues to decline. And I am just disheartened to come here to learn what's going on with the community, that I may have moved to a community where history could be repeating itself. And so I speak to encourage both you, the board, and you, the teachers, to come out of an impasse and negotiate, because we have a wonderful school system here. My son had graduated, but my daughter was entering high school, and she's getting a phenomenal high school education, and I regret my son is not getting the same level of education that my daughter is getting here. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi. Wrote my name down and address so I didn't forget. David Jacobs. I live at 32766 Washington Court. That's Solon, Ohio. It was sitting right there, and I thought walking down would make a bigger entrance. So I'm a new teacher at the high school. I teach academic and AP physics since October, when the other guy was quickly replaced. I'm here on a one-year substitute license. I'm a graduate of Solon High School from the year 2001, and I thought I'd just give a quick bio. I did 1 year of college, at which point I dropped out. I worked at such illustrious places as Walmart and Six Flags and Taco Bell for an 8-hour shift. After that, I got a Bachelor's of Science in Physics from Kent State in 2007 and a PhD from Case Western Reserve in 2014. Around here, Around here they call me Dr. J, Dr. Jacobs, however you like. I did 2 years of postdoctoral research at the University of Cape Town. I've got 8 publications of my name, and two dozen research seminars given, etc. You get rid of stage fright when you go to give a prestigious seminar at Columbia to Mr. Dr. Brian Green, and he falls asleep during your seminar, so that definitely helps things out. Real quick, since I've been here, I love my job. It's great. You have great kids, very welcoming community, excellent colleagues that are warm and open and appear to bathe every day because they don't smell. It's been an incredibly rewarding experience teaching at this level, especially compared to college. It's just a different skill set that's needed, and it's a different challenge. It's also an incredible amount of work. We use the SI measurement system in physics, so it is a metric buttload, if I do say so myself. Somewhere between 50 and 60 hours a week, and that's way more per class than what would be done at the college level. That's the basic responsibilities of just lesson planning, grading, and giving feedback. That's 40 hours right there. You want to do advanced stuff, like bring contemporary research and news to class, adjust and tailor your pedagogy to specific students, administer retakes, corrections, try new ideas, try standards-based grading. I mean, this is incredible. There's an unlimited number of things you can do. We're also disciplinarians, we're mentors, we're counselors. We wear so many different hats, I didn't even realize that was what was required. And in spite of all my background, it actually turns out that I need even more schooling to get a full license. I'm here on a sub-license. Okay, my main point is I come here not as an enemy of anybody, of the board especially. Our real enemies here are ignorance, laziness, apathy, self-doubt, and recently senioritis. I'm looking at some of my seniors over there. I feel like maybe we should just try to understand each other a little bit better. There's a public debate, and that is, what is the present value, the PV, so to speak, of a good teacher? Doctors have no difficulty justifying their present value, and hence they can argue for $100,000 a year plus, but teachers can't. And I think the reason why is that when one of these professionals, a doctor or a teacher, performs poorly, in the doctor's case, the effects are felt more acutely. In the teacher's case, it's spread out. Approximately 50 teachers in the district take your kids from wearing diapers, essentially, a little bit after that, to being able to read and write and do arithmetic at the adult level. If you do a cold dollar and cents analysis of what education costs and what the strong correlation is between better education and lifetime earnings, it's on the order of $100,000. I have one research paper of many that can be found online. This guy is Eric Heneshek. He's at Stanford and part of the Hoover Institute, not particularly liberal-leaning institute, so they do good and unbiased research. I come to you not only talking about STEM, because of course I'm a scientist, but you're going to be a useless individual out in the real world if you can't read and write. Speaking a foreign language obviously helps, and being an informed voter would require taking a fair amount of history. Let me leave you with one anecdote. I dropped physics in high school because I didn't exactly see eye to eye with the teacher there. After floundering for about 3 years, an extra year and a half of college, and about $20,000 spent, I finally found my gift, and I really wonder what would have happened if I had a better experience in high school with a teacher who was encouraged to foster his or her talents and learn to connect with their students. So my question that I want to leave you with and the members of the public that are here is, what do you feel is the PV, or the present value, of a good teacher? Thank you.
Folks, with the expectation that there's a couple more speakers this evening, let's please try to keep it to 3 minutes. Thanks.
I will stay below 3 minutes.
I know you will, Matt. Thanks.
My name is Matt Auble, 7668 Winding Way, Brecksville, teacher here for my 30th year, 29th in district. It is with great frustration that we, the undersigned members of the Brecksville Bravi Heights Education Association, are going to present to you this resolution of no confidence in your ability to lead this district. Our lack of confidence in your leadership stems from the following board actions. In our opinion, the board has put their own self-serving political agenda ahead of the welfare of the students. In our opinion, the board has failed to place children's educational needs ahead of finance, as evidenced by the outrageous participation fees which have excessively burdened families. These outrageous fees link students' educational opportunities to personal wealth and have created an educational caste system between the haves and the have-nots. In our opinion, this board has irresponsibly delayed putting a levy on the ballot for years, despite promising to do so in 2012. In our opinion, the board is now holding this much-needed levy hostage, its success conditional on the BA accepting your negotiation proposal, which is a proposal that we believe will fail miserably when it comes to recruiting and retaining high-quality teachers. This tactic was evident during our negotiations on February 15th, when the board's team threatened to remove the levy from the ballot unless the teachers finally financially supported the levy campaign. In fact, a member of your team even went so far as to question whether teachers had, and I quote, skin in the game, unquote, when it comes to our commitment to this district. For a member of the board's negotiations team to question our commitment to the district is utterly insulting, especially considering the $5 million in concessions we have already made and knowing full well that almost half of the staff have not had a raise in 7 years. Believe me when I say this, we have plenty of skin in this game. In our opinion, this board has made the entire bargaining process unnecessarily difficult, despite having already settled contracts with the administration and classified employees who do drive our buses, clean our schools, and contribute daily to our ability to educate for excellence. In fact, instead of giving BA members the same 1.5% raise you gave everyone else, you instead used our February 15th meeting to declare impasse and canceled our February 22nd session altogether. Why is it that every other employee is worth 1.5%, but we are not? Why is it that instead of uniting with BNA to pass this levy, you have elected to jeopardize it by playing these games? Many of us now question whether you want this levy to pass at all. I know you said, you've written it down, you said it, but we're human beings. We're questioning it. And we worry that you are merely looking for a way in the future to blame its potential failure on the BA members, an outcome that your continued actions could cause to happen. Therefore, it is the opinion of the BEA that in the board's constant pursuit of fiscal responsibility, you have failed to support and protect the proud heritage of the Brecksville-Broadview Heights City School District. For these reasons, the BEA votes no confidence in the Board of Education. Thank you.
My name is Aaron Schripp. I live in North Olmsted. That's probably why I'm here. My address always will be 8451 Maryland Drive, Broadview Heights, Ohio, 44147. It's where I grew up. I'm a graduate of this district, 2002. I'm here because of, you can see the Westlake t-shirts behind us. I've worked in Westlake, and I know the hit that our brand is taking and will take if we continue down this path. Sorry. Can you hear me? So, because of my time working in Westlake, I want to speak to several things, you know, tonight though that I've already heard. Legacy, you know, that our new principal, you know, came here to be a part of. My family is a part of that legacy for many years. My great-great-great-grandfather was president of the school board when the Central School was first built, when the first school was built, you know, in this city. Five generations of my family graduated from Brecksville. Let me speak to the legacy that, you know, brings to this conversation. So that I want to be a part of this. I've interjected myself into a conversation because I want to support the teachers, I support that legacy, but because I'm concerned about the future that, you know, my sister and I, you know, and our individual families may have to, you know, choose between living in Brecksville or Broadview Heights, you know, because it's a great, you know, history that we have with them, but there's not a current, you know, great structure for the schools, you know, right now. And that scares me, that concerns me. I will say that the Westlake schools, you know, are doing great now and that they've come back, you know, after possibly taking a hit to their brand. So that's possible, you know, now. I've reached out to you, Mr. Jansen, you know, to talk about this and let you know that I'm coming to speak tonight, talk to the teachers so that I'm trying to, you know, come with all the information. I think that's partly, you know, the concern also of the transparency that you talked to before, that we need more transparency to see what's, you know, actually taking place, you know, in these negotiations. I'll keep this brief, you know, less than 3 minutes because so many people have already spoken. let them negotiate, value our teachers, respect them, and invest in them, because these people behind us in these shirts, you know, and everyone sitting here, they are our community. They are our school district. Without them, we would not have great schools. Thank you.
My name's Morgan Lopez, and I am a senior here.
Hi, I'm Alicia Scott, I'm also a senior here. I've never been to a school board meeting, and...
We're a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm just... My teachers have been everything to me these past 4 years. I moved here, like, freshman year, and I can't express how much support I've had, and if... And I'm graduating, but I want everyone who comes here to feel the way I felt. And I am so passionate about this school, and I just want everyone to just know how amazing it is.
I came here tonight not really knowing what was gonna happen. I haven't been very informed about what was going on, but I heard it was gonna be a big deal. But I did not expect the whole district of teachers to be here, and I was a little surprised, but as I look around the room, I see all the teachers that I've moved here in fourth grade. So as I look around, I recognize so many people, and I'm so inspired by all of them. And I am actually just enrolled at Kent State University for nursing and plan it. Thank you. And I plan in specializing in pediatric nursing, and I am just so inspired by all of the people here that I want to work with kids and people the same age and even younger, and hope to inspire, heal, and teach them the same way that all of these people here have taught me. Yeah. So we're very proud to be a part of this district, and hope that the level of teaching stays the same, even though we won't be here. We want it to be the same way, the same experience we've had for the people coming in, the freshmen and even the juniors, for people next year, and just even elementary.
Yeah, I mean, just, I can't even like tell people that like they're my teachers, because there's so much more to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so open, and I can go to them with like any type of problem I have, and they do so much more. And I know for students who, I mean, people focus on the students who don't care, but I'm friends with so many people who do care, and we appreciate our teachers so much, and we want to show that we love them so much.
And they genuinely do care about us, yeah. And we very much care about them as well.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
My name is Laura Putnam, and I was not going to talk tonight, but after these two young ladies, I felt I had to. My background is I'm a graduate of Brecksville. Oh, I'm sorry, I live at 544 Quail Run Drive in Broadview Heights. I have two children in this district. One is in seventh grade, and the other is a refugee from the Congo. His name is Jofi, and probably every high school teacher in this room knows who he is.
I know that.
But I'm not here to talk about Jofi or Tommy, because these teachers behind me know how much I appreciate them and what they've done for my children. I'm here to talk about the Marine Corps. I was a graduate of Brecksville High School. I met my husband at Kent State. I was with him for 35 years through thick and thin in the Marine Corps. He retired in 2005. We raised two daughters in the Marine Corps system. Let me tell you what happens when schools fall apart, when school districts sit on their laurels and think it'll never happen to us. First, the kids lose hope. There is no hope for these children. The two girls that just got up here, if they were in Jacksonville High School, which is the only high school in town, well, it was the only high school, but it's the main oldest high school in town, in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. It's where my girls attended school. There's one AP class, that's it. There's 1,600 kids in the school. There are very little extracurricular activities. There are very little parental involvement because their parents are too busy trying to make a living with two income families in a service area. They don't have time for the education of their children. The teachers don't get paid because there is no tax base. It's a circle, it's a vicious circle. So what happens is the kids don't have hope. The kids apply for college and they're beat out. They're beat out from the kids with the better schools, the more extracurriculars to put on their so-called student resumes. The kids who get more AP class opportunities. The kids that get, you know, to go to the honors events throughout the state. They don't have hope. So what happens? They put on wait lists. They're put on wait lists. I was fortunate, my husband and I were fortunate, because our kids were not put on wait lists. They were one of the very few kids to get scholarships. Very few kids get scholarships, by the way. It's not like Brecksville. We may have gotten 1/10 of the scholarships that Brecksville kids will get in any one year. So the kids wait. They're put on wait lists. And what happens when they're put on wait lists? They go to the one community college that they have a choice of going to, and they wait. And they get tired of waiting. And they lose hope. And they get married at 18, 19, 20. They have their first kid. Heck, I was a 42-year-old mother, and I was the age of a grandmother in my town. Okay, I was an anomaly for having a baby at 42. I just want you to know that hope is what you're taking away from these children. And when the children lose hope, everything follows. And it doesn't follow in a good way. We are just gonna keep going down and down and down, starting with, ending with property values, and we all know this story. We must pass this levy. But we're not going to pass this levy without the cooperation between you and them. Because the parents see it, and we don't know which way to go. We're confused. We feel like we're not involved. We don't have any power. And we really don't know what the levy's for, because you're not telling us anything. But unless you two, meaning you and them, unless you agree, unless you show appreciation for your teachers and your district, it's not gonna happen. If the levy doesn't pass, this is why. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mary LaPlante. I live at 591 Quail Run Drive, and I've got a lot of mixed emotions here, but I've got a few questions, and maybe that's where we're going to go. Number one, why has the school system not faced and addressed, tell me why of the kids have we lost so many kids? Because I am a parent of two children who have withdrawn from the school system. And I, like many others, moved to the system because I went to prom with a guy and I was so impressed that I moved here when I got married. I don't know all what's going on here. And I can tell you things that I've heard from both sides, I look and I laugh. Oh, by the way, physician salaries are actually decreasing. But this is my thought and my message is, whatever's going on, you are the school board. You are in charge of the fiscal responsibility. You are in charge of the administration that I fought with before I withdrew my kids from school. I have a third one. He wants to stay in the system. And it is not my desire to look at him in the face and say, no, you're leaving, because I don't trust the system. You were elected, you are the system. I don't know all the facts, but you guys better figure it out, because it's your responsibility.
Hi, my name is Adrienne Klein. I live at 8582 Somerset Drive in Broadview Heights, Ohio. I am a alumni of the school district, and I had many amazing teachers that some are which here and some have spoken tonight that inspired me myself to become an educator. I teach in a nearby district, and I have taught high school math for 16 years. I moved out of the district after college because I went to college and moved somewhere else, and just recently I have a 2-year-old son and an 9-month-old daughter. We have moved back to this district so that they can go to school where I went to school and be inspired by the quality teachers that I had. I want them to experience what I had. I want them to experience and enjoy that and enjoy why we're here and to have that opportunity. With what you're presenting, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get the quality that I had, the quality that I experienced, and the quality that I want them to have. As a resident, as an alumni, as an educator, I am very much ask you to consider to respect and give your teachers what they deserve to get the best here and to continue to have the best in excellence. Thank you.
Thanks. We have time for maybe one or two more.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was just mentioning we have time for maybe one or two more. I see a couple people waiting in the wings.
No, that's fair. I'll be as brief as I possibly can. My name's Gordon Gibb. I live at 4360 Ryland Drive in Broadview Heights. This is my second time in a year addressing the board, so appreciate the opportunity. I'll start with, I've got a little bit of a longer view on this. My daughter is 3 years old. I expect her to go through school in this district. I hope that when she gets through her career here, she is both brave enough to get up here like these young women were, and I also hope she's moved enough by her experience in the district to be able to get up here and say the kinds of things that these girls said tonight. I will say that I'm not terribly optimistic that that's going to be the case based on the tenor of the conversation this evening. And quite frankly, I'm not necessarily optimistic about it given what I'm hearing about the proposals that have been laid out. I think it's a wonderful story to be able to tell that the current proposals wouldn't affect the current teachers, and I think that's great for all of these folks in the room. But I also applaud these folks for not being willing to pull up the ladder behind them. And I think it's unfortunate that that's the position that they're being put in right now. And so I do hope that there is another path forward, quite frankly. And I know that the point was made early on in the conversation about the situation the district finds itself in, it potentially could find itself in, relative to the going-ons in Columbus. And I guess the thing that I would say there is, as the leaders of this district, as the duly elected leaders of our situation, start punching back. I mean, quite frankly, people in the community can do what they can. We can talk to our legislators. We can write letters. You guys are in leadership positions. Start fighting back. Fight for these kids. Fight for the money that's duly ours. Because quite frankly, this district will pass a levy if they feel like it's going to be put to good use. But if all they're hearing about right now is a situation where, okay, we can take care of the current teachers, but the next crop's not going to get taken care of, it's hard to find the motivation to say, yes, sign me up for more taxes. And I say that as somebody who fully supports the levy. The final point that I'll make tonight, because we're talking about finances and fiscal responsibility and all of those wonderful things, which are all important, don't get me wrong. I know that, and if I say something that everybody else is fully aware of, please hold me accountable for it, but I know that the board has secured the services of a law firm that really specializes in these kind of negotiations. I know that they're an expensive firm. I know that they've got some notoriety for helping driving other districts into strike situations. I also know from taking a look at the monthly financial reports that are out on the website, just from the disclosures that are made available for checks written over $10,000, that the board spent nearly $80,000 last year on services to this firm. Now, they may not all be related to the negotiations, but I'm inclined to believe that they are. And that was only for the 6 months where there were checks written for over $10,000. So in the name of transparency, I think it would be very interesting for the members of the community to understand just how much has been put towards this firm for the purposes of negotiating with the teachers. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We have time for this gentleman. Thank you.
I didn't plan on speaking tonight, but I'm Bill Zaffro, 2631 Hidden Canyon Drive. I've got two daughters who are in the school district. The teachers in the district have been first class in terms of the service that they provide, in terms of education for my daughters. One who is special needs and requires a whole team of teachers and administrators behind her. to be successful. And we could choose to have her be part of the autism scholarship and take her out of district, but we don't, because she gets a first-class education here. The other thing I'd like to say is my wife is one of the physicians who's recently involved in the teaching program at Summa Hospital. And as many of you may know, it's been all over the papers, that program lost its accreditation because negotiations failed between a long-standing, high-quality group of physicians who taught residents in that hospital and the hospital administration. And it breaks my heart to see shades of the same things going on here. And the reason why that failed is lack of transparency and stopping communication and not having the communication be forthright and open. So I really, really want to tell a cautionary tale, because that program, that teaching program, got shut down by the National Accreditation. And I see the same thing happening here. There's mistrust because there isn't transparency, and we're starting to have an absence of communication. So I just want to say to the entire board, that's my expectation of you, to keep communicating. Don't just talk to each other. Keep communicating with the people you need to make a deal with. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to lead to a successful negotiation. And if we have a successful negotiation, we have a lot better chance of getting this levy passed and ensuring a sound financial and educational future for our students.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for their heartfelt comments this evening.
Good evening.
This person is very persistent. He's our last speaker for this evening. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Chris Watkins. I live at 9505 Bar Road in Brecksville. You may guess from my accent, I didn't grow up in this local school district. I grew up in Wales. My school years were some of the best years of my life. I still remember my teachers very fondly. I remember their names. I remember their personalities. I truly believe that my children, sophomore twins at the high school and a third grader at Highland Drive, will have the same experience. I firmly believe they will remember their teachers, both by name and personality, and what they've done for them. We've only been in the district just about a year and a half. We moved up from Worcester for work reasons. So we had a pick of the area, and we chose Brecksville Broadview Heights primarily because of the school district. Where was I going? Lost my train of thought.
We kept you waiting too long.
Okay. All right. Okay, yeah, I remember. Right, so a little bit of, sorry about that. A little bit of background, just about myself, very briefly. I taught a couple of semesters at a college about an hour from here. I taught psychology. Psychology 101, or the equivalent of. I've got to be honest, I was absolutely mortified at the level of writing and analysis and thinking that the vast majority of the freshmen, the incoming freshmen, exhibited in that class. I don't think that's going to happen with the quality of teachers we've got here. All I want to say is we can't let that happen. It's heartbreaking when you see the inability of freshmen at college level, the inability to read with any level, to write. The writing was absolutely atrocious. As I said, heartbreaking. We have to have quality teachers to ensure that doesn't happen for graduates at Brecksville Broadview Heights. Thank you, good evening.
I'd like to extend the board's thanks to all the speakers this evening for sharing your sincere thoughts. They're all heard. I would also like to take in closing this opportunity to, as each member of the board and each member of Joelle's staff have done, is make a commitment, a financial commitment, to this levy committee. These people are doing great work. A significant amount of funds have been raised in a short amount of time. I'm pleased that all of my colleagues are participating in this as well, to the extent that they can. And it shows a commitment that we have to the community in getting this levy passed, which is in this entire team's best interest. So thank you very much. Number 10, executive session. For the purpose of renewing or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment, for board policy 0166, item E, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Will now be in executive session. We'll conduct no more public business this evening. Thank you very much for spending your time with us.